The scripture reading this morning you can find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll read from verse 1 through verse 9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Here ends the reading of God's Word.
The text for the sermon this morning, congregation, is from this portion of Scripture, Deuteronomy 6, particularly the verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Beloved congregation, the teaching of our children, of the next generation, is something that the Scripture is greatly concerned about, or the God of the Scriptures, and he spells it out in the Scriptures, I perhaps should say, is not something that is remote. It's not something that the Bible talks about maybe twice or three times in all of the Scripture. When you study the Scriptures, then you will notice that the Bible gives it an important place. Think, for instance, way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, where God speaks about Abram in Genesis chapter 18, and then he speaks these words, I take it perhaps very well known to you. He says of Abram, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." And if you read the early books in the Scriptures, in the Pentateuch, about the laws of God, for instance, then you will find again and again that the Lord makes it a point that these things need to be taught to the children. If you go beyond the Pentateuch to the book of Joshua, for example, in many of our homes, I take it in your homes as well, we have a little plaque on the wall with the words spelled out by Joshua through the inspiration of God, "Asked for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You can think of various psalms that also address the very same thing. We'll be singing from number 90 in a little while, which is a selection of Psalm 34. We sang earlier twice from Psalm 78. You could think of Psalm 119, likewise, addressing the very same thing. And then take the New Testament. Similarly, even if I mentioned only how Timothy was brought up by his mother and grandma, and much more could be mentioned. Think of the familiar words in Ephesians chapter 6, just before that section on the Christian armor, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Just before that, I think it's in verse 4 of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Clear? The apostle writes, "Fathers, you must do this. It's your responsibility to be sure to be shared with your wife. But it's your responsibility. That's your parental duty, responsibility, the nurture, the education, the training, the admonition of the children." The church can only support and exhort and teach in a supportive role of the calling of parents. The church cannot and may not take that responsibility from the parents. God has given that calling to the parents. You bring them up, God says. There is a nurture, there is an admonition, which is the Lord's, being given to you. You impart it to your children. You know, we often speak, we surely know it from our catechism lesson, that our Lord Jesus Christ had a threefold office of being prophet, priest, and king, Lord's Day 12, for example, in our Heidelberg Catechism. But in respect to that threefold office of Christ, it's also often been said in our circles, has it not, that fathers and mothers have a threefold office from the Lord. As priests, they are to pray for their children. As kings, they are to rule, to guide and guard their children. But as prophets, they are to teach their children. And it's especially that aspect that we'll look at this morning from our text here in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. You could include 8 and 9. And we'll do so by way of the theme, "Teach them diligently." Teach them diligently. And we'll consider, first of all, the content of this teaching, and then the manner of this teaching, then the focus of this teaching, and then fourthly, the urgency in this teaching. And by that time, to the extent that we still need to make application, we'll just bring a few very concise applications. So teach them diligently the content of this teaching, the manner of this teaching, the focus of this teaching, the urgency in this teaching, and then briefly some application, the content of this teaching. It struck me in preparation for this message, congregation, studying the scriptures, how Moses has been a teacher of the Lord to the people of Israel. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, he is taking leave, saying farewell to the people. Now Joshua will be the next leader. Now he must become the teacher. But even that teaching is not, Moses is not the only teacher, and Joshua is not to be the only teacher, together with the 70 elders, the 70 men in Israel. But Moses, and the Lord through Moses makes clear that there has to be teaching in every family. Every family shall have a teacher, the father, together with the mother. Our text is taken from a very important chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. You could say that the whole book is a farewell message. And chapter 6 comes after 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And if you look at the first four chapters of Deuteronomy, then what Moses does is he retells the history of Israel. In those four chapters, in a measure. Then in chapter 5, he has gone on to repeat the law of God given at Horeb. Now here in chapter 6, he summarizes that law of God in the command to love God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, with all the strength. And here, Moses is at the very heart of what God wants to teach his people. God, the teacher of his people. That's how it is it not? Psalm 71, O God, thou hast taught me from my mother's belly. Here you have the heart. When Christ, in the New Testament, is asked the question about the chief law of the Lord, chief commandment, then he says, on this command, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, together with and thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So when here in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, the emphasis is on loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, you can get much closer to the heart of things than here. And then notice something, that it is at this point that the Lord, through Moses, begins to speak about children and teaching the children. See how important the instruction of our children is? How much a priority the Lord makes that? How important the instruction of our children is? When Moses speaks, just think of that. When Moses speaks about the most important things, then he turns to the young people. He looks at them and the children, as it were. And then he turns to the parents. Moses, at age 120, and he looks the parents in the eye. And he says to them, teach these things to your children. Don't forget your children in this regard. It's for them. They too need to know it. Don't assume that they'll imbibe that along the way themselves. Don't let their young years go to waste. And don't you ever think that your children are too young for these truths of the Word of God and of true religion. Don't we see something like this, congregation, in the New Testament? In the passages that picture to us Jesus teaching the multitudes. And then there were these parents, mothers of Salem, as we often say, who brought their young children to Jesus. And the disciples says, no time for children for Jesus. And he rebuked them. Remember, what did he do? He says, let the children sit there too. They'll pick up a few. No. He took them in his arms. And much to the chagrin of the disciples, Jesus began to busy himself with the little ones. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples had showed such a different spirit. But Christ, like Moses, Christ is the greater prophet than Moses. Christ had a heart for children. And he saw the great importance of teaching them while they were young the things of God, of his law, his gospel, his work and word. For what now is the content of this teaching to be, congregation? And the Lord says it very clearly. He says, these words which I command thee this day, thou shalt teach them unto thy children. So the words that God has spoken, the word that he has given us, oreth authoritatively, those words we are to teach to our children. Let's consider what that means. What does it mean? It means that you fathers and mothers must teach your children what? The great doctrines of the Word of God, of the Christian faith. And if you read Deuteronomy 6 carefully, then you'll notice that this part begins with the most profound doctrine. What is it? You heard the elder read it to us this morning. What is it that you must teach your children? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Teach your children about God, about his Son, about the Holy Spirit. Teach them about the names of God, the perfections of God, the will of God, the plan of God. And teach them about man, God's creature, created to glorify him. And teach your children about sin and Satan and evil. Teach your children about their and your sinful hearts and God's commandments that uncover our sin. Teach them about the new birth. You must be born again. The need for it. The promise of it. And teach them what happens when you may experience such a rebirth. Teach them about the two kingdoms. The kingdom of light and of darkness. Teach them about Christ and redemption through him. Teach them about the cross and the resurrection and what that means for every day. And teach your children about prayer and teach your children to pray. Teach them the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, to explore the Word of God, and to apply it in a measure, and to memorize the Word of God. teach them about the life of faith and the future of the people of God, as well as the future about those who reject the gospel. And teach your children about the Sabbath and the Lord's Day and the privileges of going along to church to hear the word of God. And teach them about the sacraments, holy baptism, and the Lord's Supper. And teach them about marriage and who it is they should look for and pray for in marriage. And teach them about the dangers all around them and how their hearts are so open to these dangers by nature. And teach them about the many people and boys and girls in the world who are without the knowledge of God, and the burden that we should have also for them. You see, congregation, God doesn't leave the content of what we must teach our children to our choosing, to our inventiveness. Imagine that God says, teach them, and you figure it out what you are going to teach them. Come up with the curriculum for your children. Delve into the deep areas of philosophy. Tell them to your children. No, that's not what he says. There are people who think that way. Many. But not true Christians. The Bible is the textbook. Together with what God has revealed and is revealing to us in his creation, to be read through the spectacles, the glasses, the light of the scriptures. So those two books of the revelation of God, isn't that marvelous, congregation? We don't need to come up with a curriculum. God gives us his word, and it's so full, and it's so deep, and it's so high. But it's also so simple and clear. A child can understand the basics. And we older ones, we can never learn it all. That's the content of teaching our children diligently. Now the manner, how are we to do it? Well, not in a cold and abstract and mechanical way, by lists, and we try to drill those into our children. No, we should not teach your children in a cold and a mechanical way, as though our children were like computers. And you just have to feed their minds, inform them, so that they'll get the right response. No. What then is the way that we must teach our children? And the Lord, through Moses, points to three ways, three basic ways in which to teach our children these things diligently. First of all, the Lord says, by conversation. Verse 7. Will you look at it a minute? What it says. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see the way in which? Very ordinary way. As you live your lives and do your duties. Teaching your children is not this, that you say, okay, every day from 1 o'clock till 3, or from 4 o'clock till 6, you're going to sit at this table, and I'm going to teach you. In some abstract setting, detached from life, then your children grow up and they'll look at you and they'll think, Mom, Dad, I don't get it. What's this all about? The point that God is making through Moses' congregation is that life has its normal routines and duties of getting up and working and resting, etc. Teach your children in the ebbs and the flows of everyday life, the normal things of life. Don't leave the spiritual to some artificial setting, but as you dig in the ground, as it were, and paint the shed, or pick blueberries, or apples, or peaches. As you travel together with your children in the car, or you bike together on the road, and as you visit grandpa and grandma together, as you eat your meals, as you hike in the forest or in the mountains, and whatever else you legitimately need to do, when you are with your children, talk about God, His Word, and what He expects, and what we need, and so on. In other words, teach in the reality of life, using life and the things of life as your object lessons. From their earliest days, our children are watching and learning and consciously or unconsciously picking up from their parents what they think, what they believe, what they love, what they do not love. Say, no, it's wrong. God says no. And what as parents you hope, and what you trust, and what you expect, etc. So that's the first way in which to do it, by way of conversation. But there is a second way to do it. It is to instruct them in the Word or the things of God by means of reading. Reading. Is that not clear from verse 8, where we read these words? These words shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now the Jews took this literally. And so they had a part of the law of God, the great commandments of God, on a tiny piece of paper, and they wore it in a tiny container between their eyes. That was not God's purpose at all, congregation. The point that God is making is that the Word of God is to be freely accessible to our children. It's going to have to be constantly before their eyes. Let me make this clear, that this is even a very important educational principle in secular education. You surround your pupils, your students, with books. I know they are getting out, in view of all the iPads and you name it, about all you can't read. You can read a lot of good things on there indeed. But good reading. A man is known by his books, we used to say, that he reads, and the company that he keeps. That's true for our children. Because a child will become, in a measure, what his mind feeds upon. And so, we surround our children, have you not done so, with good books. Good biographies. And especially biographies, we have some wonderful current biographies told by teachers for our children to read. Now guide them in this regard. In various ways, turn the minds of your children in the right direction. Familiarize them with the glories of the Christian faith in action by piling those sorts of books, as it were, around them. And let's just make sure that we give them books that meet the demands of that great principle that the Word of God shall be like frontlets between their eyes. They are to be taught to read the Scriptures and to read them habitually and to read them constantly. So, provide your children with books that have religious, biblical instruction. I remember when we, my wife Jane and I, were much younger parents, that in our earlier years, there was the beginning of some simple books by, it was Reverend John Talek. You may have those books yourself, published, I think, by the Banner of Truth. God made them great, and they shall be mine. Now see that our children have those sorts of books, and that they get appetites with those. Once read I was taking one of the children in our early years to piano lesson. The teacher was the kind of teacher who said, I want you to come along, one of the parents, because you need to help them during the week too. So I was sitting there in the teacher's room, and it said on there, on the wall, something clipped out from a journal. There was a father and a child, and the child had to take piano lessons. And he wanted it at first, and then the time came that he said to his daddy, I don't like it anymore. I don't want to learn piano lessons anymore. And he had to practice 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes later in the day. I don't want to do it anymore. And then his dad said to the little boy, he says, well, you don't like it? You don't like 20 minutes in the morning? We'll make it 40 minutes in the morning. No! Yeah. And that made it 40 minutes in the morning and 40 minutes in the afternoon. And boy, he wasn't happy at all. But he had to practice, and Dad was there to help him with it. And after some time, he began to realize that he was learning how to play the piano. And he began to like it. And then Dad says, you don't need to do it 40 minutes, you can do it 20 minutes. But then the boy says, no, I want to do it 40 minutes. You can yell and scream and bring these things to them by reading in this instance. And then there is another manner to do it, yet Moses, God through Moses says, so by conversation, when you talk, when you sit, when you walk, when you drive. Secondly, by good reading. But thirdly, by way of answering their questions. It's not in the passage that we read so much, but it is in verse 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me read it. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? And then you tell them, the Lord says through Moses, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. To answering the questions of your children. You know, there are children that ask so many questions that parents get tired of the questions of their children. And that's understandable too. Stop asking me questions, the parent says. Oh, be careful, be careful. To use a baseball metaphor, if I may, a question that your son or your little girl asks you is like a ball that they're pitching at you. And you can respond to that pitch of the ball by hitting the ball. And sometimes you miss. And somebody said to me the other day, you don't get a home run all the time, but try to answer those questions in a way that teaches them. And if you don't, and you say, stop asking me questions. I need some time to myself. No, that could be, you say, I'll answer it in a little while. I need to think about it. If you need to think about it. But you know, if you don't, if you say, I'm not going to answer your questions anymore, then your little boy will go to his friend's mom and dad. And you've lost them. Somebody else will answer. You see, these are the three ways in which to teach our children. Let's move to the focus of our teaching. The focus of our teaching congregation. The focus. You see, our concern must be not just all the things that I just mentioned, but it needs to be focused on this, that these things may be a means in the hand of God to plant his word into the heart of our children. And by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, unto a life from above and a walk in his fear. And it's spelled out, is it not, in verse 6, where the Lord says through Moses to the fathers and mothers, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And it needs to come into the hearts of our children. It's like Psalm 119 puts it, where David says, if David is the author, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's to be the great focus of our teaching. It's not simply that our children get big heads and simply know a lot, but our focus is to be that our teaching, blessed by the Lord, that we and also our children may have that word of God inwardly in their hearts. In their hearts. And to that end, there was a minister who once said to the congregation, speaking about perhaps these things that I do not recall, but he said to the congregation, parents, what you have to do is you have to make Christianity to be attractive to your children. Give your children the impression that to fear the Lord is the greatest gift of God for life. To come to a true faith in Christ and to walk in love and in the hope of life eternal is the most wonderful thing in the world. There's nothing else that can compare with that. How do we do this? But we should so walk with the Lord, as it were, that our children see us walking with the Lord. And we must so convey to them that to us it's such a great privilege. And it's such a deep-felt joy. This is our greatest desire in life. So that they will see that in a measure. See the joy that we have in the fear and the love of the Lord, that our children marvel at us, wonder at us. I think I've used the other illustration some time ago in the Banner of Truth of the Netherlands Reformed Congregations, where one of the pastors was telling about how parents, when they sit in church and they listen to the Word of God, how that impacts their children. If dad can't sit still himself, well. But not only sitting still. The minister was preaching, so this pastor writes in the banner. And as the father was listening to the Word of God, he was touched in his heart. And there were tears coming down his face. And a little boy, 4 years old, looked at his daddy. He didn't understand that. But it made such an impact on the boy. Never forgot it the rest of his life. It's that kind of a thing. They see you. And our children should be saying to them, I desire to be as my mom, as my dad. As I see, I didn't know when I was young, but they obviously desire to walk with the Lord by His word. And that means, practically speaking, in our congregation, that the focus will be that, first of all, we will not forget, the same for our children, that we will not forget the Lord our God. And that's written in verse 12 in this chapter, where the Lord says, beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You see, these fathers and mothers whom Moses was addressing, they had been delivered from Egypt, the house of bondage. And they were standing there on the threshold of entering the promised land. And that was a great day in their life. They were going into this new country, flowing with milk and honey, with all the riches. And then the Lord says, and it may have been astonishing to them, they never thought maybe that that would be a danger in their life. But the danger is that when you're in the promised land, that you will forget the Lord their God because of our hearts. And so our focus should be that that will not happen. And then notice that there is a second warning in this regard. It's in verse 14. Ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are around you. Now let me just leave it at this, but this should be for you or not. Something to talk about today, what that means. That we may not go after the gods of the people around us. And then thirdly, the focus is that we would know and love the Lord, our God, in our very hearts. Verse 5 and 6, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and these words shall be in thine heart. So to know the love of God in Christ through the cross of Christ, that's the ultimate focus. Everything short of that, as good as it may be in itself, is too short. Do you and I, as parents, and then also our children, do you and I know the Lord and love the Lord like that? And has our teaching as parents been blessed to that end? That should be and remain our focus. Well, that's too brief, the third point, but I'll move to the fourth point, the urgency in it. And I'll do that briefly. It says, teach them diligently. Not half-heartedly. It shouldn't be a low priority in your life or something you do with low energy. No, diligently. I don't know what illustration to use, but if you would think, for example, that you, in your business or in your office, you have a secretary who really is a diligent worker. She's supposed to be there at 8 in the morning, and usually she's there at 7:45. And you've never asked her to do that. And throughout the day, she is kind of proactive. She does this and she does that. And then something you had never talked to her about, all of a sudden she sees maybe this is what we should be doing. And so she does it. And she's always ahead. Not sitting around and say, well, I got a couple of minutes now. That would be understandable, wouldn't it be? But she always looks for ways to improve her job. To get the job done. A diligent employee. That's what the Lord says. Teach them diligently. Does it mean that, oh, more hours? I need even hours to prepare before I can teach my children. No, no, that's not what it means. You may make it way too theological for your children, or heavy-handed. You need to do it in a genuine way, a natural way, if I may use that term, and I put it in quotation marks. A real, genuine way, not an artificial way. Be diligent. And with prayer. With prayer. And that word diligent can also mean in a piercing way. That's how the Dutch translation works with it. In a piercing way. And that's like Peter on the day of Pentecost. And Peter wasn't doing it, but the Lord was doing it through Peter's ministry that he was preaching. He was telling them what had happened, and he pointed to the sword of the Spirit at them, the double-edged sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is it not? And then they were pierced, pricked in their hearts. That's how we have to do it. Who is sufficient to these things? But so that our children, too, are convicted of their sin and come to see their need of Christ, and that our children in their young years are driven to Golgotha, where Christ becomes for them the resting point of their heart, and in that way come to love the Lord and the Word and are won over to the Lord. Let me leave it at this congregation on just a few concise applications. You sit here in church and you may think, Pastor, you don't understand. Maybe a good sermon, but I can't do much with it. Why not? Ah, you say, I'm such a poor teacher. I'm such a poor teacher. Now let me answer, and I hope that you will understand the answer. The Lord says to you, teach them diligently. And if you are a parent, then you are a teacher. And God can give you all that you need to do it. Remember, it doesn't take deep learning as such. You know what it takes? It's dependence on God and His Word. And that you start speaking in the little things of life. You know, some of the best teachers are not the long-winded teachers, are not the deep-thinking types of teachers. You know, some of the best teachers are the teachers who teach with their hands in the everyday things of life, pointing them to the Lord and His Word. So that's first of all. And another point of application may be that someone else says, but Pastor, you're talking just to these young parents. We don't have children at home anymore. They're grown up. And if I look back, I say, I've done a very poor job. Well, if you are a father and a mother and you are convicted and you say, I've done such a poor job, then go and tell your children that that's become a burden to you, that you have done such a poor job. And then find ways to do what today you still must do according to the Word of God. Find ways to do it when you rise up. When you talk, when you walk, I should say, when you talk, when you travel, when you lie down in the ebb and the flow of every day. And if today at coffee time, your son comes home and usually talk about all kinds of things. He goes to a different church maybe, so we never talk about the Lord. Then today is the day to say to your son, I've been a very bad parent to you. What do you mean, Dad? Do you tell him? And when it's, I think, another five, no, it's a little long. When next time is Thanksgiving dinner, November, the family comes with all the bustle of Thanksgiving. Take some time as a father to look your children and grandchildren and maybe great-grandchildren in the eye. You say, I want to say something. It's not what I have thought up, but something from the Word of God. Now, that's a long time away. What about tomorrow? Give one of your children a call. Just a minute. 2 minutes maybe. And then make it a point every day or every other day. Just a little bit in touch with the children. And a little talk in the light of the Word of God. You know the Lord can use that. You say, and that's the final point in application, congregation. Maybe you say, Pastor, I need to be taught by the Lord first. I'm not going to talk to my children. I need to be taught by the Lord. Well, that's a good sign that you say that, my dear brother and sister, or my young friend. That's a good sign, and I close with it. Do you think that the Lord would tell you and me, sinful creatures, fallen creatures that we are, to teach our children? And that He would not be willing to teach us? He is such a good teacher. Jesus is the chief prophet and only teacher. Ask Him, Lord, show me Thy ways. Teach me. Let these words be in my heart. Teach me when I rise and when I lie down, and teach me by the way. Teach me, and I shall be truly taught for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful Lord, it befits us to confess our sins with respect to this basic work of us as parents. How we have fallen short. We confess that when we look at ourselves, there is no hope, and surely not for our children. But with Thee all grace is found. Thy people shall Thy mercy know. O grant us the very grace we need to do what Thou dost call us to do, and to do it in childlike dependence on Thee prayerfully, ever being a beggar at Thy feet, but doing it with all our shortcomings. O grant Thy word thus, not to return void unto Thee, as Thou hast said it would not, but let it do that which is pleasing in Thy sight. And Thou takest no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but in this Thou dost take pleasure, that the sinner turn from his sinful ways to Thee. Oh, let it be also our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and equip us to a task so much neglected on our part. Wash us, cleanse us, renew us after that threefold office of being prophet, priest, and king, becoming prophet, priest, and king, and increasingly, and then to point away from self, though we are right with them, but to point to Thee. Oh, how true, Thou must increase, and we decrease. Bless us in our Sunday school, in our Bible study, and prepare us for this night, O gracious God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hearts to the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.